A little more than 3 weeks ago, a young man named Jimmy Mizzen was murdered on the day after his 16th birthday. He'd called into a baker's shop with his older brother when he was challenged to a fight by another young man who was believed to have been about 21 years old. Enraged that the challenge to a fight had been refused by young Jimmy, his antagonist slashed Jimmy across the neck with a piece of broken glass, an injury which proved to be fatal. Jimmy Mizzen had, during his life, lived with his parents, Barry and Margaret Mizzen, and his six brothers and two sisters. By today's standards, that is a large family. I think most of us would expect righteous indignation and a clamouring for justice as a result of this unprovoked attack, for Jimmy's assailant to be apprehended and brought to justice, tried for the murder of an innocent young boy. After all, there is a spirit of anger which permeates this age today, a spirit of anger and vicious, mindless violence. However, what I want to do at the moment is to focus on the words of Mrs. Margaret Mizzen in response to the murder of her son. And here is what was reported by the Daily Telegraph on the 12th of May, and I'll quote this. She still maintains she feels only sympathy for her son's attacker and his parents. What can I really say to them? Can you imagine? That's their child. They held that boy in their arms as a baby. They must be in pain. It's so painful to know that one of your children has been so cruel, so wicked. People keep saying, why are you not angry? There is so much anger in this world, and it's anger that killed my son. If I am angry, then I am exactly the same as this man. We have got to get rid of this anger. We have just got to. And that is the end of the quote. So today what I want to do is to draw our attention to the mental response of the Christian to this sort of situation. There will come a time when we will all suffer persecution at the hands of others, and we must have the same type of response as our Saviour. He was perfect, and he commands us that we are also to become perfect. I'd like you to turn with me, please, first of all, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 15 and verse 1. It would have been so easy for Mrs. Mizzen to rant and rave about the lack of law and order, the lack of self-control, the need for greater personal accountability and responsibility, but she chose a softer, more mature manner to respond to her grief and sorrow. She followed the admonition of King Solomon, who wrote most of this book, the book of Proverbs. And I'd like to read now from Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. There is a spirit of this age, the Germans refer to it as the Zeitgeist. It is a spirit of anger and hatred, a spirit that is often fueled by alcohol, by bitterness, by sectarian strife, by religious bigotry and political extremism. Mrs. Mizzen has, in many respects, the right idea. She is sorry for her son's attacker and his parents. She may not have forgiven her attacker, his attacker yet. After all, that young man has expressed no remorse, and he has not yet paid the penalty for his actions. But Mrs. Mizzen's words are a soft answer to a very, very tragic situation. These words tended to calm the emotional outpouring of grief and to a large degree stifle anger. A soft answer is not simply a reply to an antagonistic argument. It is the verbal response to any situation that may arise. I'd like to turn now to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Providing that there are reasonable grounds for anger, there is nothing wrong with controlled anger. It is when anger is allowed to fester in our minds that it turns to bitterness, and that is the actual total opposite to what we should be experiencing, to what we should be. It is how sectarian and family and clan feuds begin. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, we read the following. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Now, as I said, there's no problem with being angry. Yes, we can be angry, but it's all too easy to let anger turn to bitterness. As the Apostle Paul says here, don't let the sun go down on your anger. It has to be expelled from the system. You'll find that a prime aid to putting something offensive into its proper context is a soft answer. If someone shouts and rails at you, don't shout and rail back. Keep calm. Make a peaceable reply. Then do your best to extricate yourself from whatever situation may be about. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Then there's another point which comes up in this sort of context in the book of Peter, chapter 3. In the final analysis, it all boils down to how we respond to aggressively motivated people and situations. An offensive response to an aggressive word can, and often will, lead to some kind of altercation, a full-blown row, or even worse, a full-blown fight. We have to be peacemakers, controlling our emotional responses, and definitely by not becoming belligerent. So in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, we read the following. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion, one of another, love as brethren, be full of pity, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. Now, this particular phrase, not to render evil for evil, occurs three times in the New Testament. Here in the book of 1 Peter, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 17, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 15. And since this instruction is given so plainly and repeated so often, it has to be a major point of the Christian response. It has to be something which we learn, something which we practice, and it has to be part of our daily lives. It's part of our vital development. A soft answer will take the heat out of many situations and may well be the key to avoiding all kinds of trouble. And if we cannot avoid trouble, we must remember that if there has to be a response, God says, vengeance is mine. I'd like to go back now to the book of Matthew in chapter 5. Now, Jesus Christ sums up the approach that we ought to take in the response to persecution. I'm not saying that we should not defend ourselves from attack, but what I am saying is that if necessary, we may have to take it on the chin and grin and bear it. Those who know me will say quite plainly and quite categorically that I'm not particularly a pacifist. Now, I do tend to become rather aggressive at times, but you know, I try to keep that under control. But each one of us must be peaceable, living peaceably with all men so far as we are able. And that is part of an instruction that we find in Scripture. But in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 43, we read the following. You have heard that it has been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemy. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the publicans do the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? But be you therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. We all like to live peaceful lives. That is good and natural. And one way we can help to live peaceably is to ensure that our words are not harsh, but that they are soft and soothing. A soft answer can diffuse an otherwise explosive situation. Pray for those who persecute you. Refuse to repay evil with evil. If we are angry, get it out of our system as quickly as we can. And remember that a soft word turns away wrath. I said earlier that Mrs. Mezen had in many respects the right idea, but she does not know why there is so much anger in the world. The closing words of this week's update, "The future is almost on us," point us in that direction. There's a passage in Scripture which says, "Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time." That wrath, that anger, permeates the society in which we live today. And that is why it is becoming more and more important that we learn this admonition from King Solomon to give a soft answer. And we must learn it thoroughly, and we must learn it and teach it diligently to our children, so that they in turn will grow up to give a soft answer and turn away wrath.